The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
What would you say has been, to date, the capital of coronavirus in the U.S.? What do you think the center has been, the epicenter?
Based on what you've seen on TV, you would have thought New York would have been it.
Because obviously a lot of New York is still in shutdown. Like, you just can't do anything in New York. Does it seem like doing the Nathan's hot dog contest would still be a priority? Because it is. That's still happening. Oh, yeah.
Wise, guys.
People need it. In these times, people need it. What's that guy's name? Clarence Hill from the Star Telegram?
Yeah, I think so.
He was like, Mike Gundy's apology was phony. And I was like, you may want to listen back because Mike Gundy didn't apologize. Not that Mike Gundy needed to apologize. And we got into this yesterday. I don't know that he had anything to apologize for. But if you came under the assumption that Mike Gundy in that video apologized, that wasn't the case.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. And if you're one of the bad Tuesday texters, don't bother because we're not even reading your crap today. We're just having a little fun. And there's still people mad at me over saying Meryl Streep sucks and the fact that she won all these Academy Awards. Hey, that stupid fish movie won an Academy Award. So don't give me that.
I'm not going to dog her, but I don't know like what my favorite Meryl Streep movie is. She's a non-factor for me. I just think of her as like it might as well be like I don't know, like Clark Gable. Like, except I guess she's still alive.
She's before your time. She was the same group that everybody tried to say Woody Allen was so brilliant at that stretch, and neither one of them did anything for me. And you know who you guys were talking? I guess you and Josh were talking about Elizabeth Moss the other day. That's kind of what she's like. It's like she's not attractive, so everybody says she can act. And I'm watching her. She can't really act. And I saw her in this New Zealand show I started watching. Oh boy, that's a big one.
Sorry, Fred, that slipped.
Yeah, and now I've forgotten totally where I was.
You were talking about Elizabeth Moss, maybe?
Yeah, she can't act either. Hey, that's the new thing. Let's take people who aren't attractive and say they can act. Getting a lot of hatred for both the Coreys, Feldman and Haim. And then 713 said, I had this discussion with my buddies a few weeks ago, and they argued that I was crazy that I thought Streep was overrated. So I watched 9 Meryl Streep movies within a week in order. She's very versatile and she's good with her accents and delivery, but I'm not over the moon crazy about her as an actress. The same people that think she's a brilliant actress probably say stunning and brave all the time. I'm not saying she's bad. I'm just saying she ain't all that.
I do think she's brave, though.
Yeah. So you mentioned Goldie Hawn. There's another one.
Are you a Goldie Hawn fan?
She never really did anything for me.
I never thought she was hot. Like, a lot of people think she's hot, but like Demi Moore also falls into that category for me. I've never thought Demi Moore was hot. Like, she's always her features are a bit mannish for my tastes.
Let me clarify though. In every case, I would. I mean,
Meryl Streep's case.
Oh yeah, even Meryl Streep's case. Yeah.
All right.
But that has nothing to do with the acting and you know, but I would. I mean, they would all be out of my league, even if they're very average looking.
Okay.
I mean, that just goes without saying. Somebody else says, thank you, Fred. I thought I was the only one who hated Streep. Nah.
Yeah. So, she doesn't rate for me because I honestly couldn't name a movie right now. Same with that Jessica Tandy. Is she still alive or is she dead? Jessica Tandy.
Oh boy.
Wasn't she Miss Daisy?
That sounds about right, yeah.
Like, apparently she had a bunch of movies before that, though, right? Like, that made her famous?
Yeah, they probably weren't movies. Probably weren't movies that I watched, though. And a lot of people mentioning Streep was in Deer Hunter, but she wasn't the reason Deer Hunter was great.
No.
It had nothing to do with her. So, so we said her Drew Barrymore. I don't think she's hot. See, I think Drew Barrymore is kind of hot. But the first time I saw her was in Firestarter when she was a kid.
Right. That kind of ruins everything, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
And Drew Barrymore, there's some movies where it's like it, The Wedding Singer. I think she's extremely hot in The Wedding Singer. I find her very attractive in that movie. You know who else is kind of like that? Like she's got hit and miss days. Winona Ryder. Like sometimes Winona Ryder's super hot, and sometimes I'm like, oh, why did I ever think Winona Ryder was hot? So that those ones are confusing.
I still think Winona Ryder's hot, even in that stupid Netflix show that everybody loves, that with the kids who can't act. Speaking of people who can't act, and that show's gotten so popular, you think they could afford lessons, but Manny asked about boy, that's two in 4 minutes.
Ooh. I chugged my Red Bull. Right, I've got a new flavor of sugar-free Red Bull, and I just chugged it before the episode or this segment started.
I see. Manny says Sally Fields, Smokey and the Bandit. Sally Fields can get this work smoking hot. Yeah, growing up, that was one of mine was Sally Fields. You know, prior, I guess by Gump, she wasn't.
I think it's
all
just
that
Sally
anymore.
Field, just with just one field.
She can have as many fields as she wants with me. So,
but Sally Field, like I think she was in that the television show Brothers and Sisters that was on a few years ago, and she was the mom, and she's like an older lady. And I mean, even as an older lady, I was like, you know what? She's a pretty hot older lady. Like, actually, maybe hotter as an older lady than she was when she was younger.
Well, as a kid, I remember her as the Flying Nun. That's going back.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, that was her first show where she was a star. But she was the Smokey and the Bandit, and she was in a bunch of stuff. And yeah, she was sneaky hot. 409 mentions Kurt Russell. I don't know if he's saying that he can't act or that he can't. I like Kurt Russell. I find Kurt Russell to be just something about him on screen that you're just like, okay, I'm into this dude.
This may be even a little before your time, but she may have done stuff after that you would know about. But when I was a young boy and I was in love with women on television, one of my first loves was Elizabeth Montgomery from Bewitched. Did she have any kind of career outside of Bewitched?
I don't think so. Mm. But yeah, she was hot.
And her hot. And the I Dream of Jeannie chick.
Oh yeah, yeah.
What was her name?
Those were early masturbatory targets for me.
Yes.
No question.
And I mean, she was a smoke show. But I didn't know if she, I guess I never really thought about it because I'm Barbara Eden. So she did have a career outside of, outside of that.
Yeah. I always wanted a genie growing up because, you know, being a 12-year-old watching shows like that, my only wish would be, hey, I want sex.
Yeah.
But 713 says, Fred, how have you not brought up Helen Mirren? You mean Dame Helen Mirren? That's another one. Even now, I still would.
Ooh. Barbara Eden is now 88 years old. And I don't know. This was in 2013. There's a picture of her walking a red carpet in Vienna. So let's go. She would have been 81 in this picture.
Yeah.
And I would.
I mean, you would?
Yeah. Even at 81. Yeah, she's a hot lady. I'm trying to
see. Yeah, 713 says Peggy from Mad Men and Handmaid. So that's Elizabeth Moss. Says she's cute and ugly at the same time.
I don't even think she's cute.
I don't think she's ugly either. I just think she's meh.
Yeah, she was the one in the Invisible Man movie that I watched last week, where there's no way she's hot enough to be some tech billionaire's like trophy wife. It doesn't even make sense.
409 says Mannequin's a terrible movie, but Kim Cattrall is so hot in it. Yeah, and she was also in Big Trouble in Little China, and then most people know her from Sex and the City, where she wasn't as hot as she was in the other ones. But yeah, in those early 80 movies, she was smoking. I mean, no question. So, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776.
Yeah, Barbara Eden was in movies with Elvis Presley.
Yeah, and Elvis made... It's so funny. Elvis couldn't act a lick, but they would just write songs into the movie for him.
Well, Elvis stole everything from the black man. We all know that now. Elvis had some of that white privilege, too. Let's face it. You don't admit to that, Elizabeth, Fred?
Somebody said Elizabeth Montgomery did a movie with LJ. Career took a dump after that. What movie did she do with OJ?
I don't know. I got to look it up now. I kind of want to see that movie. She died in 1995.
Okay.
So, let's see. I don't see anything about OJ. But I could be... I'm not seeing anything about OJ. Oh, yeah.
I just remember... I remember him in the Naked Gun.
A killing affair. Montgomery played the role of a police detective who has an affair with her married partner, played by O.J. Simpson.
Wow.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah, she did some... in the television movie Amos, she played a villainous role as a vicious nurse who abuses her wards in a home for senior citizens. What an awful role to play.
Huh. I like it. I'm going to have to go back and watch some of these.
She was a political activist.
Oh, well, never mind then.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of activists. Santos mentioned Kim Cattrall was hot in Porky's.
Oh, yeah. She died of colon cancer.
Ooh, painful.
Yeah. That's a painful
end.
That's a painful end.
Denny mentioning Elizabeth Shue. I know everybody was about her in Karate Kid. She was at her hottest in Cocktail with Tom Cruise.
Yep.
Not a great movie, but Elizabeth Shue was smoking hot. All right, let's take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Broken lines in the better times that we deserve.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, and guess what I need to get in? A Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
Well, let's just say that there's somebody out there that's really critical of you, AJ, and they have a newsletter, and they write about a bunch of stuff that's negative about you and your company.
Okay.
Here's what you wouldn't do. You wouldn't do, well, you might do this, a slew of critical and harassing Twitter posts and messages. Send a series of anonymous and disturbing packages to their home, and one of the packages include a preserved pig fetus and a funeral wreath. Some of the other stuff that they did, a bloody pig Halloween mask, a book on surviving the loss of a spouse, and pornography. They also sent an unpaid pizza delivery order of $70 to the couple's house at 4:30 a.m.
I used to do that all the time. But that was before they could ID your phone and connect that to your address.
These are former eBay employees, because somebody had a newsletter that was critical of eBay, and they have now been charged in a cyber stalking scheme by the Department of Justice. So six former eBay executives are now being charged. So for future reference, somebody does that and you don't like them, do not send them a pig.
Yeah, especially a pig fetus, a preserved yeah. pig fetus.
Yeah, that's...
not wise, guys.
Yeah, and a book on how to survive the loss of a spouse, because that kind of counts as being threatening. So, yeah, they're in trouble. Let's that was your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
We were talking about Elizabeth Shue. One thing to mention, she was in The Boys. She was the boss in The Boys.
Yeah.
I don't think she's aged very well.
No, she hasn't. Things have not gone well for her of late. She I think she may have had some plastic surgery go wrong.
It's kind of what it looks like, yeah.
And when you were talking about the hottest Elizabeth Shue and you said Cocktail, you could argue Adventures in Babysitting Elizabeth Shue is just as hot, if not hotter.
Yeah, same era. Yeah. Same era. But yeah, that was. But when it took me a couple episodes of The Boys to realize that was her.
And wasn't she the replacement girlfriend in Back to the Future?
Oh, that's interesting.
Like when you remember when you watch Back to the Future and then you watch Back to the Future 2 and it's like the last scene of the first movie is the first scene of the second movie, but it's a different chick. Like Michael J. Fox's girlfriend is a different chick. I think she's the new girlfriend.
Yeah, Jennifer.
Yeah, yeah, but Jennifer's a different girl in Back to the Future 1. And I don't think I'd ever noticed until I watched recently with my kids. They wanted to watch the movies, and we watched them back to back. And I was like, wait a minute. That's not the same person. I probably didn't catch it as a child because there was a couple years between part one and two. And, you know, who remembers things like that when you're nine?
The original was Claudia Wells.
Whatever happened to her?
She didn't do much, like a bunch of...
She pissed away her career, huh?
Basically.
What an idiot. Well, maybe she had some good reason. Like, maybe her mom had cancer or, you know, she wanted to spend time with orphan kids. But if she just decided that she didn't think the movie was going anywhere, that's a really bad business decision.
She worked until 86 and then took some real time off and then came back and started doing stuff again in 2008. But it's a lot of stuff I've never even heard of or could recognize.
Oh, well, a quick Google search says Claudia Wells had to step back from continuing the role when her mother was diagnosed with cancer.
Damn, man, you brought that evil on her.
This happened in 1980 something.
Yeah, that evil on her.
No, in 1989 or something, 88.
You're an evil person, Hoffman.
No.
903 says.
I'm saying she's got a good excuse at least.
Well. 903 saying Maggie Gyllenhaal in Batman was horrible. That is the single worst role in a really good movie. Was Maggie Gyllenhaal in friggin' Dark Knight? Dark Knight.
Yeah, Dark Knight.
Did you think she was hot in that movie?
No. Her acting was Sofia Coppola Godfather 3 bad.
Are there any movies where you think Maggie Gyllenhaal's hot?
No.
I don't think I have any either. Like she's one. Where I've seen a couple of pictures of her where I'm like, oh, maybe. But then every time she's in a movie, I'm like, no.
Well, and then she opens her mouth and starts trying to act, and it's just, ugh. You know. And a lot of people loved Leaving Las Vegas, Elizabeth Shue, which came up, which circles back to where this all started.
And yes, and now the conversation is complete.
With your incredible love for Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. Someone said, hey, can you talk about something other than COVID today? And, well, now we have.
When was that?
Early in the show, the first segment. Someone was like, dude, can you please talk about something that's not COVID? And, well, now, are you happy now? Are you happy now?
Now I just want to talk COVID the rest of the show just to piss him off. Santos mentioned that Elizabeth Shue's in a new film with Tom Hanks called Greyhound about World War II. Have you heard of it? I have not. But I mean, obviously she's having a little resurgence here because the Boys was such a huge hit. But 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. And yeah, there's people still asking about what we think about baseball and who's to blame and all this stuff. I don't care who's to blame. I mean, the owners look bad. Rob Manfred looks bad. The players don't look great. I want to hear from you when you are ready to come back and play baseball. I don't want to hear any more back and forth. I'm not reading any more crap that's going out there. Just when you're back, let me know, and I'll decide if I want to spend money on you. So.
Until then.
Did any of those actors and actresses contract COVID? Yeah, that's how you could turn it back. So.
Yeah, it actually says the first girl in Back to the Future, her mom caught COVID, and that's why she didn't do Back to the Future 2.
So what you didn't put that evil on her.
No.
Of course, it would not have been COVID-19 because it was, 2003?
No, this was COVID-4. This was like 1989.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, then it'd be COVID-89.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah. So, it's Tim Hanks, somebody says, not Tom Hanks.
That's the less successful Hanks brother.
That's the Frank Stallone. That's what that is. But anyway, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Somebody just said my pot dealer just tested positive for COVID.
Ooh, that's not fun.
Nope. That's a negative. Yeah, I'm hoping to find out tomorrow. I really hope I'm back in the office tomorrow.
Listen, almost everyone that we were worried about here at the office cleared.
Yeah, when we got an email during the show, and I got excited because I thought, hey, that means I can come back, but I haven't heard from my guy yet. But that's good news. The people who we thought were in contact with it are fine, so that will help. But I'm hoping for some good news here, and back in the office by Thursday at the latest is my hope.
All right. So I'll see you here, Fred.
Yeah. Because if I don't get out of
unless
this
house, I catch it by then.
Well, it's always possible. It's unfortunate how, and that's the thing that kind of drives me nuts is, I'm guessing this is going to happen two or three more times over the next few months where it's like, whoops, I guess I better stay home. And, that's the new reality. Just have to deal with it. The Rona ain't going away.
Nope.
The heat ain't killing it. The God guys aren't killing it. So we'll just have to do the best we can. All right, man. I got a bunch of sports here. I don't know if I want to do any sports today.
We could probably work in a little bit of sports. We haven't done any today, I don't think. No real sports.
Well, we did the Gundy thing, which is technically sports, but
please, we weren't talking about football.
Well, about whether or not guys would play.
Yeah.
You were talking about he's going to win the Big 12 with a bunch of white guys. That's football talk.
I guess so.
I'm sorry.
Technically correct. All right. You know what else is technically correct? TGS Insurance. Yeah. They are the one of the fastest growing agencies in the entire state of Texas. And you might be saying, well, why? Why are they growing so fast? Well, I'll tell you why. Because they've figured it out. They've got an innovative system. They've already shopped the home insurance prices for every home in our area. They know what you can be saving, and they're ready to let you start saving now. Grab your phone, text the word money to 232323. The system will ask for your address. You'll reply back, and they're going to send you a quote with full coverage, excellent coverage, within 15 seconds. How about that? And it's real. I did it, and I saved over $1,000 annually. The average customer is saving over $900 a year. There's no need to wait for your renewal. They take care of the whatever contract you're under now. They'll take care of it. You'll be out of that. They'll send you a refund check, even if you've paid in full. and you'll start saving money now. Text the word money to 232323. Start saving right now with TGS Insurance.
You have to get torn apart, but you don't miss it till a doorknob hits you or they body in the ground while you whisper to a picture. And if you're still thinking it's just words, you might as well forget what you just...
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-3776. Don't know if you saw this story. Misleading headline, by the way. It says, NFL estimates losses of $3 billion if fans are unable to attend games. That's probably right, but it's not $3 billion in losses. It's they will make $3 billion less than they did or they would expect to make if they had fans in the stands. They'll still make money, but they're not going to lose $3 billion. They're just not going to make the $3 billion they were counting on. And we've talked about this, and you know, consequently, a lot of talk that the salary cap is going to have to take a huge hit, and that's... I find it increasingly unlikely that there's going to be fans, at least 100% anyway. But, you know, there may be some things that they do where it's 50% capacity or something like that. That'll still be a significant revenue loss.
Did you see that they are putting the NBA teams into rooms, like what hotel they get to stay in, like quality of hotel they stay in is based on their seating?
LeBron's getting the best one, right?
Right. So the Grand Destino is the best hotel on Disney's property. They have, you know, they have suites that start at $977 a night. So that's it's a pretty nice hotel. Their cheap rooms are $376 a night. That's their lowest level room. The Bucks, the Lakers, the Raptors, the Clippers, the Celtics, the Nuggets, the Jazz, and the Heat will all be staying at the Grand Destino. The next level down is the Grand Floridian.
I've actually stayed at the Grand Floridian.
Okay, what are your? Obviously a nice place. It's like the average room is $689 a night, so it looks like it's a pretty nice place.
Yeah, it is. At least it was. I mean, it's been probably 2000 early. I don't know when it was that I was in it, but it was pretty badass.
Well, the Thunder, the 76ers, the Pacers, Mavericks, Nets, Grizzlies, Magic, and Rockets will be staying at the Grand Floridian. Does that tell you, like, does that give you any bad feeling about, like, if you put them in tiers and you say these are the teams that have the best hotels because they've got the best chance of winning, do you want to be in the same hotel as the Nets and the Magic? Like, isn't that kind of disheartening when you're like, oh, we're staying in the same hotel as the Nets, the Grizzlies? Ugh, it makes you feel like maybe you don't have that great of a shot, but at least you're not staying in the yacht club. The average room at the yacht club, it says, is $222 a night. So not quite as nice as these other ones. Not great reviews on the yacht club either, unfortunately for them. The Blazers, Kings, Pelicans, Spurs, Suns, and Wizards will be staying at the Yacht Club. I imagine that's kind of like being put it, like, for us, the Grand Destino is like when we go to Vegas and we stay at, like, the Venetian. And the Grand Floridian is like when we're put up in the MGM. And then there's those times when they're like, hey, we got you a room in the Luxor. That's the yacht club.
Yeah, but you know what? That's all they deserve. Name one team on there that you that should do better than the Luxor.
I mean, you putting Greg Popovich in the Luxor?
Yeah.
Come on.
What
the Blazers?
He wouldn't have even been in the playoffs.
All right.
Yeah, that Grand Floridian, when, in my newspaper days, we used to go to Florida for contest judging one year and California for the other. And there was one year they when we were doing the convention, that was the only hotel that I could get into was the Grand Floridian.
I'm sure whoever your bosses were that were having to pay that were thrilled.
I was the one signing my own expense report. So
So they never knew.
pretty much, yeah. I mean, there was another guy who had to approve them over me, but they were pretty much all rubber stamped. And I just said, hey, that's, you know. And I don't remember how much it cost. It wasn't that expensive, and I didn't have, like, the premium room. But I had a nice room, and it was a cool place. And that was, like I said, probably 2002. 2003, somewhere in there.
What a life you were living, so, Fred.
Yeah, things have changed quite a bit. 713 said, accepted an offer today for a medical device sales position, leaving my company in 9 years. Scary move to make right now with COVID going on, but an opportunity I couldn't pass on. Wish me luck. Good luck, man. It's a strange time to be jumping, but if you got an opportunity, go for it. I mean, Sounds like a great opportunity, and just be happy you're working right now. So so many things have changed, and one of them is just, you know, pretty simple. If you wanted to improve your career or do something different, kind of hard to do right now. Mm-hmm. Did I lose you guys?
No, we got you, Frenny.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't hear anything there. But yeah, it's a different world. Just trying to all make it. Somebody asked me earlier, what's steak night now in Edo now that they've closed Lucky's Lodge? I'm told Around the Corner's open again, so we'll probably wind up back there, assuming I can get out of the house again.
It's like you found a newer, hotter chick, and you were with her a couple times, and you're like, you give up on your old chick, and you're like, oh yeah, I got this new thing. And then she like overdoses on cocaine and she's dead. And now you've got to go like groveling back to the old chick that you already told, like you'd already basically thrown all her clothes in a trash bag and put them in her backyard and said, you're not pretty enough for me anymore. And now you're like, hey, so, what's up?
Are we doing anything tonight? I always liked them, and they do a great job. It's just that, you know, they weren't open, found some place we like better, and really connected with everybody there in a short time. And it was disappointing that they shut all that down. But yeah, they've reopened now, so I have no problem going. Plus, they have a lot bigger outdoor area, so you can distance a lot better. So yeah, I'll be doing that. Somebody says Little Woodrow's does it on Wednesday. Is that the one in Edo? Because I don't know if I've been to their. I think I've been to their steak night. I didn't hate it. It was pretty good. The problem is like there's one every night, and I try to pick one night a week so that I'm not overdoing it.
My wife and I have had the discussion, and we've gone out to a couple of restaurants and tried to do the social distancing thing best we can anyway. But we've decided for a little while we're going to take a step back from eating out at restaurants, and we're just going to go back to takeout.
That's not the worst idea.
Just until things calm down a little.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like I need to go out, but I also think that when I have, we've been really pretty safe about it. But, you know, it's whatever you're comfortable with. And, you know, you guys have always been a lot more worried about it than I've been. And, you know, I just, but now that I think that I might have been exposed, totally different. You know, just don't go anywhere.
Yep.
And there's you know, back to Uber Eats and stuff like that.
But, well, it's scary.
You know, it's okay. You know, it is. You're eliminating a lot of potential problems. But again, you know, it's what I've said all along. It's whatever people are comfortable with is what they should do. And just because everybody says it's okay to go out at 25% or whatever, it may not be for you. And if it isn't, then, you know, don't do it. I mean, that's your choice. Wow. One segment left.
You're going to be able to calm that
I already
dog
burned
down.
Off. There's nothing I can do about that. The idiot wife's not doing anything to help today. She's mad because the dog went nuts on her in a meeting. So this is her payback.
Mm.
So.
Well, that's cute.
I don't know what's wrong with the damn thing. Can we just go to break and I'll go tell her to shut the thing
Let's
up?
Let's go to break and we'll be back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And if you're wondering if you ought to break up with them,
you're listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. I got the old, oh, I didn't think you could hear it if she was upstairs thing. You could hear that damn thing in Amarillo. Jesus. So, she's now being quiet. All right, let's get to a little Hey Man Bleep That.
I'll go first. Fred, what do you do after you're done using the toilet?
Flush, wash hands.
Well, you're putting everyone else at risk when you do that. Apparently now, one way to prevent coronavirus transmission is not flushing the toilet. Scientists have found that in addition to clearing out whatever business you've left behind, flushing a toilet can generate a cloud of aerosol droplets that rises nearly 3 feet. These droplets may linger in the air long enough to be inhaled by a shared toilet's next user or land on surfaces in the bathroom. In simulations, it can carry infectious coronavirus particles that are already present in the surrounding air recently shed in a person's stool. The research, published Tuesday in the journal Physics of Fluids, adds to growing evidence that the coronavirus can be passed not only through respiratory droplets, but through virus-laden feces as well, which means that basically public restrooms are the enemy going forward. So, to breathing in someone else's poop is bad enough. To breathing in their corona poop, I say, hey man, that.
Seriously, some poor person went to medical school, got this degree.
Yeah, so
and
we
that's
could know,
the study
Fred.
That's the study they do is a freaking flushing study. Come on, do something better with your life, people. All right, mine is kind of a reverse one. I don't know if you saw this, but United Airlines is requiring passengers to wear a mask during the flight, except when they're eating or drinking, which, you know, for me, drinking, that's most of the flight. But they are now saying they will blacklist passengers who refuse to wear a face mask.
Oh.
And they'll offer them one. If they say no, their names could be put on a restriction list, and they could be banned from future flights on United. The only exceptions are individuals who have a medical condition or disability that prevents them from wearing a face covering, like we mentioned, you know, people who are claustrophobic on the show a couple weeks ago, or those who cannot put on or remove a face covering themselves, and small children. They're expected to wear a mask for the duration of the flight, except when eating or drinking, according to United. American Airlines has now announced a similar policy. So the good news is, I think that, especially on an airplane, that's not too much to ask. So to all of you anti-maskers out there, I say,
hey, man, f*** that.
I thought you were going to airlines are going to stop serving alcohol on planes.
No, no, that would be a real, hey, man, bleep that.
Well, that's really happening.
Well, God knows if I'm ever getting on a plane again at this point anyway.
Yeah, you may not want to now. Now you got to fly sober. Yeah. Gross.
No, I can't.
That's where those edibles come in.
Well, that's not going to happen. I'll bring my own on there. Don't worry.
That's crime, but okay.
No, it's not. I've learned from several people you can get those little bottles on
that's
there.
That's true. Aaron, what says you?
So we've talked about this recently. I am 100% tired of everything becoming politicized, and everybody, if you don't like what I have to say, I don't ever want to be around you. We should never look at somebody who has a different perspective and everything. And we talked about digging up people's tweets from the past and trying to get them in trouble for it. I'm not 100% sure who Rick Wilson is on Twitter. His bio says ad guy, dissident, New York Times best-selling author. He tweeted out yesterday, he went and retweeted a tweet from 2012 of Domino's. And I know we're not going to talk about the quality of Domino's pizza here, but they responded to, I don't know how you're saying it, Kayleigh McEnany, the current press secretary for Trump, where she was bragging on Domino's for some reason. And they responded and said, thanks. Well, this Rick Wilson guy retweeted it yesterday, 2020, mind you, saying, good job, Domino's, you killed your brand. So he went and dug up a tweet from 2012 to say, well, Domino's killed their brand because they replied to somebody in 2012. It's 2020. Mm. And now there's people actually replying. Brand,
they're true. They're
I don't
right.
know if
the
it was being,
dead.
Again, I don't know much about him. I don't know if he was trying to be funny about it or mock the world we're living in. But now there's actual people replying to Domino's going, I'll never eat there again because you tweeted this back 8 years ago and you should have known the hate that she had then. Okay, if we're going to dig up every single thing anybody's ever done, none of us can say we don't have skeletons in our closet. For that, hey man, f*** that.
The most angry I've ever been about a political Domino tweet was when Hillary Clinton was running against Donald Trump and she took a picture with black people trying to look like she was like the president for black people. And she was playing dominoes and she had her hands thrown up in the air and everybody around her was like all excited. And you look down at the dominoes and it was like 13. Like she didn't even make a 5 and she was like acting like she'd won the game and she was so excited. It was the most embarrassing picture of any political figure ever with dominoes.
Shame.
Pizza be damned. That was more embarrassing.
I thought the woman that played Domino in Deadpool was pretty hot.
Yeah, so, not bad.
Does that count?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Fred, what's going on tonight?
Don't know. I've almost finished watching Lilyhammer, and there were only 3 seasons, and they didn't do a 4th, which now that I've learned that, I'm kind of bummed. But probably finish watching that. Might play poker. I don't know. I played... played the tournament last night and finished 7th and played like a guy who was trying to finish 7th. I just was really very passive, weak, tight, and just didn't play very well. And so kind of looking to get back tonight maybe and try to make up for that. But I don't know. I'm gonna pop open a couple of good beers, though, since I'm out of vodka. So there's that.
That's a good way to do it.
Yeah. I've got one of those Brooklyn Black Ops I've been saving, and I'm kind of in the, and I've still got a Falcon 9 for me that I've been saving. So I'll probably have one of those two. Definitely right. Not both, because I do have to wake up in the morning. But hopefully I'll be back in there tomorrow. You know, that's, if we get some good news and, be back to normal, sort of. I don't mind doing the show from here, but I really hate not going anywhere. It's so funny how quickly I adjusted to it and handled it just fine the first time. And now I'm like, oh, this sucks. This sucks. God. So hopefully things will be good.
You Aaron, got going on? Any plans for you?
Soccer matters.
Oh, yes.
I'm mattering with soccer. I'm trying to find a way to matter with soccer.
How are you fitting in with that program? Are you do you talk soccer? Or does Glenn avoid your voice altogether?
He doesn't avoid my voice. We haven't really talked too much because he's been interview heavy lately.
Okay.
But Every now and then we'll talk, and I'll talk because I grew up playing the game, and I don't like how it changed from what I was a kid, because the problem was when I played it as a kid, we had a specific set of rules that said, these are the world rules. They've changed 16 times since then, and nobody's ever like sent out a memo that I saw.
I saw a picture of Glenn today, or a video, and Glenn has been, like, he's been self-isolated since the beginning. Like, he doesn't leave his house, I don't think, and... Glenn, who's usually a very handsome, striking looking person, looks like a person who's been in self-isolation for 3 months. He looks like hell, to be honest. He needs a haircut. So someone go to Glenn's house and cut his hair. Someone get a test, make sure you're not, you know, corona-y, and then go cut my man Glenn's hair. Get him back ready for TV.
Yeah, because at some point he's going to have to do TV again. And two guests tonight, Hector Moreno, Mexican national team defender, and Tyrone Marshall of Manchester Evening News. He's going to talk about the return of the Premier League. Obviously, he'll focus on Man City and Man U. We'll not be focusing on my team, Chelsea, but that's okay. Premier League back this week, which I'm excited about. So, you know, another little sport that I can watch where I don't need baseball. That's simple.
Only the Dinos. It's all we need.
The beloved Dinos.
The Dinos lost to the freaking Kia Tigers last night. It was gross.
I know.
Well,
just wait till the Wyverns catch up with them. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Great job, Hoffman. Great job, Aaron. Soccer Matters coming up next. Till tomorrow, stay Rona free, bitches.
ESPN 97.5.